And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you out to our Wednesday night service. We're there tonight at 7. We have an adult Bible study. We have a young adult Bible study. We have a kids ministry that takes place on Wednesday night. And we would love to invite you out. We would be thrilled and honored if you chose to worship with us. And right now we are going through the Refresh Radio program here. We're talking about prayer. The goal is not to talk about prayer. The goal is to pray, to thrive in our prayer time. And so that's what we are looking at here. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Also, besides what we're going to be talking about, this is week number 2 of the spring offering here at WMIE. And in all honesty, the amount of money that WMIE seeks to raise every 6 months is very, very frugal. There's not a lot of fat on the amount of money that they try and raise just to be able to take care of all of the mechanical and technical pieces of equipment that are required in order for this radio program and all of the other radio programs to go out across the airwaves. And I can tell you, there is a lot of programs that come in and out of the building. I know because I'm encountering, you know, through scheduling and things like that, a lot of people who are crossing paths and things like that. So we want to thank you for being a part of what WMIE does. As a partner, you are also reaping some of the rewards in your heavenly account of every person who gives their life to Jesus, every marriage that gets saved, every life that continues to be born, people who advance in their walk with God because of the ministries that take place here. I learned this a long time ago. God's math looks a lot different than man's math does. God's accounting system looks different than man's accounting system. There have been times when we grew the kingdom with people getting saved at the same time families moved out of the area. And so even though we advanced the kingdom, our numbers went down. And I will tell you that if we continue to reach the lost and help people to grow in their walk with God and make disciples, there's a lot of people that word scares them. I've literally encountered people that word discipleship scares them. I'm not talking about controlling your life. I'm talking about helping you to understand what it is like to walk day by day as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what WMIE strives to do. And so if you would feel led of the Lord or would like to take a step of faith and say, I want to partner with WMIE for the next 6 months, give them a call, 321-632-1000. Let them know what a blessing WMIE is to your life. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, again, when Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi, you have to remember how the church came into existence. First of all, Paul and Silas went to to where the church would meet to pray. And so every church should have as part of its foundation a desire to have continual communication with God. Prayer is not just for salvation. Prayer is not just for when we are sick. Prayer is our hotline to heaven, if you will. It gives us access to the throne of grace where we can find help. It is the way that we communicate with the lover of our souls. So when you remember that Philippi, the church there, started in prayer, and then it started with it carried on into fellowship, which led to a propagation of the gospel, which led to a supernatural deliverance, which led to persecution. You have to remember all of those things as you are reading about this letter to the Philippian church. Remember that Paul and Silas were arrested there. And remember that instead of panicking, instead of being filled with anxiety, they were praising and worshiping the Lord. And then there was a supernatural earthquake, all the jail cells flung open. But it wasn't so that Paul and Silas could get out. It was so that the Philippian jailer and his household could get in to the kingdom of God. So when Paul writes this to them, he is not just writing from a theory that he heard someplace. He is writing to them from tried and true life experience when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So what we see in prayer is we don't pray to God out of our anxiety. Our anxiety is conquered by the presence of the Lord whenever we have our conversation with him. I've known a lot of people. I've had a lot of conversations. And there are some people, just nothing seems to ruffle them. They're just calm, cool, collected. If you go to them, they're gonna put you at ease, very, very quickly. For instance, I had a car, that I had done a wedding, and at the wedding, I saw this vehicle, and my wife needed a vehicle because I was working 63 miles away from where we lived every day, and we were out in the country, and she just needed something to get her back and forth to the church she was working at. And I said, "What's up with the car?" And they said, "Well, it's got a bad engine knock." I said, "So it still runs?" I said, "Yeah, it runs." And so I bought the car for $50. I took it home. That bad engine knock turned out that it had 7 quarts of oil in a 4 quart engine. And once I drained the oil out, put no oil in, the engine knock went away. And we actually drove that car for a number of years. But in the first couple of weeks that we had it, and my wife wasn't driving it, you know, hundreds of miles a week, she was just driving it, you know, about 5 miles each way to work. And we had 4 flat tires in 1 week. And they were brand name tires. They were some of the best tires you supposedly could have, but they had sat. And as we drove them, the tires went from a place of not having been used to being used, and the tread separated. And so that $50 car all of a sudden cost me a few hundred dollars. And I went to church, and the pastor said, "So how's your week?" And I said, "I had 4 flat tires in 1 week." And he said, "Praise God." And I said, and I'd been there around him enough. I was like, "Okay, help me in my perspective to understand why how I can praise God when I just had 4 flat tires." He said, "Praise God you had a car that you could have 4 flat tires on." And it only cost me $50. So, I mean, I could have paid hundreds of dollars for a different vehicle and still had to buy 4 tires. And so I learned from him that you can praise God even in difficult circumstances. I was having some fellowship with that same pastor. He's now retired earlier this year. And he told me that he had been through the exact same scenario. And that's how he knew what to tell me, was because he had been through that scenario. And so I've learned that anxiety and fear do not control a Christian's life. It doesn't mean they will not try and work their way in, but it means that I am going to take very active measures to get them out of my life. And one of the ways that we do remove anxiety from our life is by praying to our Heavenly Father. Our prayer closet is where anxiety goes to die. Because when we enter into our prayer closet, we realize that our faith in God reveals to us that God is bigger and more powerful, more wise, and more than capable of handling the problem. No matter how that problem compares to us, it will always be minuscule when compared with God. I'm not telling you that we are not to be anxious for anything just because I read it in the Bible. I'm telling it to you because I lived it. I remember when I took my first ministry position and was promised one salary, but I was unaware, didn't ask enough questions, and found out that when I took that ministry position, which was about 70 hours a week of work, that I had more bills than I had income. My parents literally. In fact, my wife and I ran into this minister friend, and my wife had never met this person, and so I said, "Yeah, this is my wife. She works, and you know, so a lot of times she doesn't get to go with me to district events." And she said, "You work to support his ministry habit," and that was pretty much true. Ministry, you know, for a few people, it is there are a few people who write books and, you know, things like that, and they make a lot of money. Most people in the ministry do not make a lot of money. If you're looking to make money, you need to go to a different thing, because the first 20 years of ministry, my family was living beneath the poverty level. And that was both of us working. And we continued to serve God. So when I became responsible, not just for myself, but when I became responsible for my wife, and then responsible for one child, two child, 3 children, plus a church, all of a sudden, all of that pressure, financial pressure, when you're dealing with the church, you're dealing with people, and people don't always respond the way that you would hope that godly people would respond in situations. And so you can be filled with anxiety even though you didn't pull up to the anxiety pump. You need gas, you go and you get in line, you pull up to the gas pump and you fill your tank up with gas so that you can go the distance. Well, I wasn't pulling up to a pump of anxiety, but the situations of life would cause me to say, how are we going to make it? You know, when 40% of the congregation moved away, how's the church going to make it? Well, the same way that we made it before those people showed up at the church, and that was the just shall live by faith. And I am very, very thankful. So when I go in to pray to my Heavenly Father, there are certain things that are going to have to exit at the presence of God. And one of those is anxiety. So whether it is finances, whether it is a health diagnosis, whether it is what someone has said about you, whether it's the uncertainty of your job, whatever it might be, could be the spiritual condition of your family members, the proper response for a believer to all of those situations is not anxiety, it's prayer. Anxiety will cause complaining. Anxiety will cause you to make emotionally charged decisions instead of spiritually empowered obedience. So I do like to remind people, God created our emotions. But he did not create us so that our emotions ruled over us, but instead that we have dominion over our emotions. So prayer is the antidote to anxiety. And if it's a huge problem of anxiety, it might be something that is, you know, spiritually paralyzed you to where you just do not step out in faith the way that you are supposed to, it may require a lot of prayer. A lot of times people get caught up in the time that they spend in prayer. How much time? We've already talked about how we're supposed to continually pray, but I would say this. Spend all of the time that you need in prayer to get yourself to the place that you can act, you can respond, and even be proactive to do what God called you to do. Anxiety prevents obedience. Prayer empowers obedience. And so it says, in everything, not just your spiritual life, but your marriage, your home life, your work life, your finances, what you think about, what you do with your time, in everything, by prayer and supplication. So, I'm going to take just a little bit of a strange turn here for just a moment. And that is, you've heard me talk about that I like to golf. I don't do it very often. I don't do it as well as I would like. I don't do it as often as I'd like. But one of the things that I hate doing when I'm golfing is I hate getting penalty shots. And there are many times when a hazard is what they're called, be it a water hazard. Those are bad, though, but those are not the most intimidating. If I'm on a golf course, people's houses are intimidating. I don't want to be the guy hitting a ball into someone's house, breaking their screen, breaking a window. I don't want to be hitting cars driving down the road because my golf ball. And so whenever I see that there is a potential harm out there, it, without me even being aware of it, it impacts my ability to hit the shot to where I really want to hit the shot. Where what I have found from watching professionals is that they figure out where they need to hit the ball. It doesn't matter to them most of the time. If there's a water hazard or anything like that, that would cause me to want to hit it away from the water, they will just knock it right over the water because they have the confidence in their swing to be able to do that. Back to our spiritual. Because we are Christians, it does not mean that there is life without hazards, if you will. There could be bumps in the road. There could be challenges. There are going to be situations that require not just faith, but more faith than we've ever had to exert before. But our faith is not in us. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in the God who gave us the faith, who is able to demonstrate his sovereignty in the mountains, in the valleys, in the plateaus, in the deepest of waters, in wet times or dry times. He proves that he is God. So I don't have to be anxious, because whenever I pray in everything, and I present my petitions, not as someone that I'm begging for help, but someone who has made all of the resources of heaven available to the children of God. If God did not withhold Jesus from us, and Jesus is heaven's greatest gift to mankind, he will not withhold any good thing from us. So, We go into our prayer time, and after we've talked a while, the conversation may go something like this. The Father will say, "So what do you need to help you to fulfill everything that I have called you to do today?" And it may be peace. It may be co-laborers. We continue to pray for laborers at Merit Assembly of God. And the fact I'm getting more and more birthdays year after year. I got another one coming up here in the very near future. And the more of those, the less confidence I have in my natural stamina. But after decades and decades of walking with God, I still have the faith that God is able to do more in a moment than man can do in a lifetime. And so I've literally had people tell me, "Merit Assembly of God will cease to exist in 10 years. Well, that was about 2 years ago. And my response then was the same as it was when I first came. God is in the business of building his church, not closing churches. Do churches close? Yes. Do I think that we need more churches? Absolutely. Do I think we need healthy churches? Yes. Do I believe that Merit Assembly of God still has a role in God's kingdom? I do. He's the one that placed me on my assignment. He's the one that keeps me on my assignment. He's the one that will equip me for the assignment. And so I continue to say, it'll look different. Every time we build it up and then, you know, people move away, it comes back and it looks different, but it's all to the glory of God. So what do we need? Well, you know, so we need laborers. We do. We need evangelists and, you know, people who go out and reach the community. In fact, we're going through a season of change in our office. I've got an office manager who's been with me for 22 years, and today is, you know, her last full-time day, or not full-time, but her last committed day in the office. She's still going to be available for emergencies and consultation and things like that, but she's retiring. And Karen has been a huge blessing. She is a major reason why I'm able to do a lot of the things that I do, because she is so good at what she's done for the past almost 22 years that I don't even have to worry about that. I know that it's going to be taken care of. So I don't know if you noticed what I said there. I don't have to worry about that area because I know she's going to take care of that. Well, the same could be said when we come to prayer. We have confidence that God is going to resolve the issue, that he's going to be with us. He's going to give us the wisdom we need, the resources that we need, the co-laborers that we need. We don't have to worry. You do not have to live under the tyranny of anxiety. Prayer is a gift from God that we can use in everything, not just on Sunday. When we realize that the life that God has for us to live is meant to live outside of the four walls of the church building as much as inside, it will change the way you live. You will find that Jesus Christ is Lord inside the building and outside. Don't worry. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.